find it. I didn't mark it. Always mark your text, preacher. Yeah. Jonah chapter 4. This ain't a real preachy, so I don't know y'all's. Hopefully I won't put y'all to sleep this morning. There's some things the Lord gives me that we can stomp and snort and yell on. There's some of them that... So I pray I don't bore you this morning. This is the Lord kind of just opened this up. We travel around a bit, and of course most of y'all here probably do, so there ain't nothing that you've observed that I've observed that you haven't observed. But in the short time that we've been on the road, things have changed amongst God's people that I've just seen. The church I was brought up in, we wasn't in a circle. We didn't have a fellowship group. We didn't really know there was such a thing. I didn't know there were camps. I didn't know about colleges that had competitions between themselves. And I agree with Brother Patnod there. A Christian college is typically a tail wagging a dog that winds up just being for the purpose of the college. The church is only there to support the college. And people send their kids there, and the church, it's all about supporting that college, and it's not about the work of God. And if that offends you, I'm sorry, but that's a reality that I've seen. When you've got a club that everybody in your club has been to your college, and the only reason you can preach or minister there is if you've been to their club and you're part of their standards, and that works with everything. And we've got our whole focus. There's two things that we're here to do. The thing that we're here to do is to glorify God. We're not here to glorify ourselves. We're not here to glorify our camp or our club or our college or our preacher. But we're here to give glory to God with our lives and with our ministry. And we're here to worship and glorify Him and to fulfill the things that He's required of us to do. We've really gone beyond that. Let's look. Let me read this text. And then we'll pray and help. Ask the Lord to help us. Jonah chapter 4. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah is a fundamental Baptist. He would rather die than to see God bless somebody else. He'd rather die than to see God do something that didn't fit his particular standard, or that he would see God promote or bless people that weren't like him and didn't agree with everything that he'd done. Jonah said, hey, you're not doing things the way that I hoped that you would do, and you're not dealing with people that I hoped you would deal with. So God, if it's going to go that way, if it's going to leave my particular clique or circle, just kill me, because I'm not interested in seeing you promoted unless it's done my way and in a way that I agree with. He's mad, he's praying to God, he's angry, he's hateful, he's spiteful, because he knows that God ain't like me. He said, I know what you're like. You're gracious and you're merciful, and by his own admittance, he's agreeing here that he's not. Then the Lord said, dost thou well to be angry? How gracious and merciful God is. So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city, and there made him a booth and sat under it in the shadow till he might see what became of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow over his head to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd, but God prepared a worm. And when the morning rose the next day, it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a vehement east wind. And the sun beat upon the head of Jonah that he fainted and wished in himself to die and said, it is better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Then the Lord said, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for which thou hast not labored, neither madest it grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. Lord God, I pray you'd help me this morning. God, you know how unworthy I am. God, you know what I am. You know I'm flesh. God, I pray that you take this message, God, that you'd use it. Lord, you gave it to me for a purpose. God, you know why. And Lord, I pray that you take it. Lord, you bless it and break it. God, get me out of the way. And Lord, we just pray that we'd be a help to people here this morning. God, we need your touch and need your help. In Christ's name we pray. And amen. I want to preach this morning on what will happen when you've got it made in the shade. When you've got it made in the shade. Here's the issue that we're looking at. The gourd was a benefit to Jonah, and Jonah didn't have anything to do with it coming up. But God prepared the gourd and it benefited Jonah, but God's intent all along. God did not let the gourd grow just so that Jonah could be comfortable. You see, it was prepared. God already had a plan, and God knew in his mind the illustration was going to be made that Jonah is going to enjoy the shade of the gourd, and Jonah is going to understand and learn something. And when that prepared gourd, that Jonah thought God was just being good to me, and Jonah was sitting there singing, I've been blessed, God is so good to me, riches are his thoughts of you and me. Well, I used to do the scratch the record. All of a sudden, Jonah wakes up the next morning and I'm no longer blessed and God has been so bad to me. And all he's thinking about is unprecious thoughts of me. And we've got the idea that everything that we've got today, from our air-conditioned churches to our vehicles and to our just blessings that we've got, we're so happy to have that and to bless God for that, and we need to be thankful for what we got. But a lot of times we've got the idea that God has given us these things just so we can be comfortable and just so we can be happy and just so we can have a bed of roses, if you will, and we neglect to remember that everything that God's given us is to be used to give glory to Him, and we forget that until God's got that worm prepared to come by, and when God cuts that down, then all of a sudden we're brought face to face with the fact that we thought we had it made all the time, and God's just trying to teach us something. If you look about gourds, the first place you find gourds mentioned, I believe it's 2 Kings, I wrote it down, I'm not going to bother going over there. They're gathering up food. There's death in the pot. You remember they said, oh man of God, somebody come and shredded a gourd and put it in the pot and they was going to eat it and it was poisonous and it was going to be damaging to them to eat it. So going by that, a gourd is a dangerous thing. It's a poisonous thing. And yet Jonah never complained about it being a poisonous thing. He was just glad for the shade of it. I believe today that God has let churches grow up. God has let ministries grow up. God has let colleges grow up that people have thought have been a blessing of God. And the only reason God's let it prosper and the only reason that God's let it grow up is so all of us backslidden, hard-boiled, sitting in the shade of this outfit can learn something from it when God's got a worm prepared to cut it down. We're crying about seeing churches go down and seeing doors shut and seeing ministries go out and seeing men get out of the ministry. But a lot of times I think what we're looking at is just God cutting down gourds. We've been comfy under these things and we've been happy and we've just had things our way so long that we have no comprehension, that we've overlooked. Jonah is upset because that God is going to spare some people that Jonah wants dead. If you come up in this independent fundamental Baptist movement, if you've been part of that for long, a lot of us, I was raised in this. I grew up in church. I was saved when I was 6 years old. I didn't always do right. Got out of the will of God when I was a teenager and didn't get my brain back till years after I got married, and thank God for His mercy on me. But we got the idea when the Lord called me to preach, I had the answer to everybody's problem. I could fix your problem. And if you'd listen to me, and I felt like that everybody I'd listen to me, I could save the world, and I was the most spiritual thing there was on the planet. I was God's gift to the church, and you know, I was so self-righteous and so hard on people and so hateful, and it ain't no wonder I wonder why God even spared my life and let me get this far with some of the downright meanness that we had towards people. And that's the spirit that Jonah's got is the same stinking attitude that we see people having today, and the same thought process. And it's got to the point to where that we basically just hate anybody that ain't like us. God help us if the Church of God had a revival and it wasn't used in through the Independent Fundamental Baptist movement. We'd sit outside the city and we'd be in a hut because God didn't use us. Well, I'm not suggesting you change over to Church of God doctrine, and I'm not saying that I think we're wrong about our doctrine, but we've got wrongness in our attitude more than we do our doctrine. We might know the truth, but we're awful proud that we do know it. You notice that term God used that He prepared. It wasn't just something that He didn't think about. And when you see these things growing, and you see these ministries come up, and you see these overflowing, huge, outspreading ministries that people get comfortable in, or these churches that people get comfortable in. And I'm not going to call names, but you've seen some that have been cut down to size here pretty recently that were rather big. And those gourds are poisonous, but you know there's a family involved in the gourds. The Bible talks about the cucumbers being in Egypt. A cucumber is a gourd. It's in the gourd family. Pumpkins, cucumbers, squash, all that's in the gourd family. Yeah, amen. And the Bible don't have a positive. It's a negative. I know people that have gone so far and they won't eat cucumbers. I mean, that's stupid, okay? Sorry. Yes, there's a negative connotation on the cucumbers, the leeks in the garden, the cucumbers of Egypt. But nevertheless, anything out of Egypt, God has a negative attitude towards. And so that gourd was prepared. God had it in mind. He let it grow up. It was just a shade for a backslidden prophet for a time and a season. Not only was there a gourd prepared, God prepared a worm. You know anything about worms? I got studying worms. Worms have no bones. So if they have no bones, they are all flesh. Nothing more. Worms are associated with death. The book of Job. Job talks about being covered with worms. Your worm dies not in hell. A worm is a picture of flesh in its bare simplicity. All that a worm is a tube of flesh that takes in nourishment in one end and excretes what's left out the other side. That's all they are. In our barest form, that's what we are, flesh. There ain't nothing pretty about us. There ain't nothing good about us. We're all the same. But thank God I learned that there's some things. There's different kinds of worms. There are some worms that will never change. There are some worms that will spend their time in the dirt, and that's all they're going to do is stay in the dirt. We call them earthworms. They're never going to go any different. They're never going to be any different. They're never going to go anywhere. There are some worms that are going to stay inside of other animals. They make their living, if you will, feeding off of somebody else. They're blood suckers. They're parasites. and all they ever do is just feed off of others. They never have anything original. They never go in any place but in the same old cycle, just to feed off of somebody else. But thank God there are some worms that are mentioned that have a future that's a little bit different, that they're not going to stay worms forever. There's going to be a time when they lay down and spin a cocoon, where we call them caterpillars. The Bible talks about the palmer worm there in the book of Joel. But that caterpillar will lay down and spin a cocoon, and that he will eventually come out. He's no longer going to be just a piece of flesh that crawls around everywhere, but he's going to sprout wings. He's going to get a new nature. He's going to have a new life, and he's going to be able to fly away someday. What kind of worm are you? God prepared that worm. Now we're kind of bucking the system. I hope this don't come out wrong. And don't misunderstand me. But we are complaining about things being the way they are. God prepared the worm. If you go over and read the book of Jeremiah, God's people had it made in the shade. They had their own little system. They had that glorious kingdom that had been established. It had split up under Solomon's son, Rehoboam. Jeroboam took that other kingdom. But they were God's people. And they were the top dog. Nobody could be better than them because they had, if you will, a revelation from God. They were God's special people. And they were banking on that attitude of being God's chosen people. We'll never suffer defeat. We'll never see slavery. And they never even comprehended that when Jesus was dealing with the Pharisees. They said, we'd be Abraham's seed and never been in bondage to any man. What kind of idiot are you? Never been in bondage to any man. You was in bondage to Pharaoh. You was in bondage in Babylon and in Assyria. You was in bondage under the Macedonians in the period between the New Testament and the Old Testament. You was in bondage under the Idumeans under King Herod. You were in bondage under the Romans when you're talking to Jesus and you say, we've never been in bondage to any man. And the whole point Jesus was trying to get across is you've been a slave since you come out of Egypt. You've never laid aside your bondage to sin. You think you're free and yet you are in bondage to this day. And you don't even know that you're in bondage. God sent Jeremiah and he spoke to God's people. He preached to God's people. We always use Jeremiah to say that he's out on the street preaching to lost people. Jeremiah in Titus preaching to God's people. It's God's people that have gone astray. It was the people of God that put Jeremiah in a pit. It was God's priests that stopped up their ears and said, shut this man up. Because what Jeremiah was teaching them was that God is going to cut down your little system that you think God established, because what you are doing is you took what God gave you and you've abused it and you've wasted it, and God is going to send a worm by that's going to cut you down. And Jeremiah's advice was submit to the worm. You think about this message. If we had a foreign invader in this country right now that was getting ready to take over this nation, you can call me unpatriotic or whatever, but I don't really know how much I would have Bible to stand on to say for rejecting that. Does it matter to you spiritually who runs this country? Brother Patnod's got folks in China that's just as saved as you are. They're in a communist country. And although they ain't got it made in the shade, they still serving the same God you are. But we've got the idea that unless things are going our way, unless we've got it made in the shade, unless it's our government, it's our people or whatever, God said, you go out and submit to the Babylonians because I sent them. I sent Nebuchadnezzar in to destroy God's house. Nebuchadnezzar destroyed God's temple. And yet, God don't talk like he's their enemy. God said, I raised him up for this purpose. God prepared a worm for this very thing. And he told God's people, you embrace him. You go out to him. You surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. And that made people mad. Just like it would make us mad, I guess. You got somebody preaching, hey, we need to surrender to whoever, the Koreans, the Mexicans, the Chinese, whatever it is, because God is finished with America, and he's going to give us over to somebody else, and he's going to cut down the gourd that we've been living under all this time. God prepared the gourd. And it was a nice place to be when the sun was hot. But God had something to teach Jonah. And here, I guess, is what I'm trying to say is, number one, we need to ditch the attitude that Jonah's got. Preaching to me. Too many times we don't see people, but because they're not like me, or because they don't got my standards, or they don't got my particular brand of holiness, and we just kind of tend to ignore that and put that aside. And you're going to be hard-pressed to find folks that's got good standards anymore. You're going to be hard-pressed to get people in your church, even after they're saved, that have got so much baggage and so much junk in their life, that to get them to be like an independent fundamental Baptist with all the cleanness and all the things that we're associated with, you're going to be hard-pressed to get that. And we've kind of got the idea, well, if we can't have that, we don't want nothing. It don't matter. God said all the people of Nineveh. And even here's curious, he was even concerned about the cattle. Because the whole mess was going to die. God had already sent the warning, your wickedness has come up, I'm going to destroy Nineveh. And Nineveh repents, and Jonah's mad about it. Jonah's mad because Nineveh's repentance makes Israel look bad. Because they were the enemies of God's people. And Jonah said, how dare you bless people that did not live for you and did not have the standards? How dare you spare them the wrath that we've been preaching is going to come and having mercy on them? We need to stop being like Jonah. If God cuts down our gourd, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what tomorrow holds. But if I could get people to understand and to realize, regardless of who's running this country, regardless of who's in charge, regardless of the way things look, you have a responsibility to God to follow the Lord and to love people. And your number one priority is not whatever government we're serving under. Your number one priority is to be obedient to God and to love people. That's what God's got you here to do, regardless of your circumstance. If it gets to where that we're suffering under a vehement east wind, God prepared the wind. God prepared the gourd. God prepared the worm. And God prepared the wind. And what we need to do, when we end up in the book of Jonah, we have no knowledge of what becomes of Jonah. Jonah goes to preach repentance to people that need to turn, and in the end of the book, God's not dealing with Nineveh, God's dealing with a preacher that needs to repent. And we never find out what happens to Jonah. The last word we have on Jonah is he's sitting under that hot wind, mad at God. God help us. We got it made in the shade. If God cuts down our gourd, then let's serve God and let's not be like Jonah. If it's going to get hot, if the wind's going to blow, if we have to suffer, God give us grace to still love people and to follow God regardless of whether or not we've got it made in the shade. Thank you, folks. I'm done, preacher.